Welcome to another episode of The Central Word, a podcast ministry of Central Baptist Church, Texarkana, Arkansas. Today's episode is from the morning message of Sunday, January 19th, and is preached by our pastor, Brother Mike Sylvie. Our desire is that this message builds you up in your faith as you walk daily with Christ. Here now is Brother Mike preaching from Nehemiah chapter 9, a message titled, Five Habits of Healthy Christians, Faithfully Reading.
Amen. It's been good to worship the Lord this morning. Well, because we know the Lord, we can be the very best people that we can be. Physically, spiritually, personally, and in every way. And I know at the first part of the year is when we get refocused and we begin to work on things and we try to get in shape or begin to adopt some healthy habits that we let fall by the wayside. I know some of you are working on some physical goals. I've heard you talk about them. And I've needed to do that as well. And I started back with a little exercise routine this past week. And I can feel it. Every time I move, I hurt because it's been too long since I've exercised on a regular basis. And so we all have something we need to work on. And I'm in a series with you on five habits of healthy Christians. Now, these are spiritual habits. And what we need to understand is that without the spiritual, everything else will not really be everything it should be. I mean, you can become tip-top shape physically, but if your spirit is not what it should be, eventually you're going to fall back and become a person that is not what they should be. And so the spiritual, in its place, helps everything else thrive and be on target. And you be everything that God wants you to be. So these are very, very important. We started last week with faithfully attending times of worship. And today, the second habit we're going to look at is faithfully reading God's Word. And we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, Nehemiah is a book that can be hard to find. It's actually, even though it talks about the end of Israel's history, it's not the end of the Old Testament. It's actually to the left of the book of Psalms. So find Psalms, go to your left, and find one of the shortest prophets in the Bible, Nehemiah. And so we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 9. This section of Scripture is in a place where God's people were not healthy. They were struggling. They had been brought back to the promised land after being disobedient to God and being in captivity for 70 years. But God is gracious and loving and kind. He forgave their sin. He brought them back to the land. And it wasn't very long since they were in the land that they stumbled again and they began to do things wrong. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, they realize this. And they're just disgusted with themselves. Because they knew better. After all that time in captivity, they knew that when they got back, they needed to serve the Lord. And no sooner they got back, it wasn't very long, that they began to disobey Him. And they were just so frustrated. And chapter 9 shows us that what they did was they just came together and they opened God's Word and they just read it. And from this point on to the rest of the book, they began to improve. They get back on track, and they get better. And today we're going to look at this healthy habit of reading God's Word. God's Word is food for our soul. It gives energy and life to our spirit. And as you interact with it on a regular basis, it keeps you strong and healthy. Now look at verse 1 with me, and we'll read through verse 4, and let's just notice what's happening here. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth with dust on their heads. They had realized their mistakes. They realized they were not healthy, and they were just trying to gather their thoughts and figure out what to do next. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day. And for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then Josiah, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sarabiah, Bani, and Chaniah. There's some names to consider when you're thinking about your child's name, isn't it? They stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And the Levites praised the Lord and said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." So as they came together, it says that for a fourth of the day, they did nothing but read God's word. And then another fourth of the day, they confessed their sins. And then another fourth of the day, they praised the Lord. So that's three-fourths of the day. What did they do for the last fourth? Well, you got to sleep sometime. And so they spent the whole day of their waking hours getting into God's word and then responding to that. And so this is the habit. This is pictured here for us. This healthy habit of living life in the Word of God on a regular basis, getting into the Word and letting the Word strengthen you and be the life that strengthens you. And so I want you to see four steps to living in God's Word that we have here. We're just going to go very practically this morning and look at what they did and why they did it and why it's important for us. Number one, you simply read the Word. We never need to get so busy in our life that we can't just take time away and sit down, pull away from everything else, and just read God's Word. As it comes into our ears, it comes into our soul through our eyes, it ministers strength to us. It is spiritual energy for us. And so it's important that we're doing that on a regular basis. And so we talk about this at the first of the year, how it's important to get into God's Word and be going through it in a systematic way. And maybe in the past you've read through the entire book, the entire Bible in a year, and that's a great thing to do if you've never done that. If you've done that a lot, there's nothing wrong with switching gears and just focusing on some portion of God's Word and really focus and go deep. Maybe you just want to read through the New Testament, or maybe just one section of the Bible, maybe the Psalms and the Proverbs, or even just one book. It doesn't matter what you're reading as long as you're getting God's Word into your heart and into your life. And so there are Bible reading plans that we've got on the foyer tables. If you don't have one, there are those that you can find on the internet. They're all out there. You can just Google it, Bible reading plans. There are some Bible apps that are great. I know some of you are using those. There's Bible.com that is a great one. It has a lot of different versions on it, and you can click on that, and it will actually give you an audio of the scriptures, and you can listen to it or you can read it. Another app called Bible.is, Bible is a great one. It is also audio, but what feature it has that's really unique is that the voices are actually different voices. It's a dramatized version of the Bible. So when you're reading the words of Christ, then you're hearing a dramatized voice of His voice. And same thing with Peter, Paul, and the prophets. And so you just need to find something that works for you and that you get into on a regular basis. And so as we read God's Word and we interact with it, and it's so important to do that. It's so important for you to bring a copy of the Bible with you. And I see several of you have your Bible with you. And we always need to continue the habit and the discipline of getting in touch with God's Word. And I'm so glad that that you still have your Bible with you, and I want to encourage all of us to continue that that discipline. Today we can be so busy that we can just be doing this and that, and before we know it, we've spent a week or 2 weeks or even a month and we hadn't been in God's Word. What would happen if you went just a few days without eating or drinking anything? How much would you be able to accomplish? You would begin to grow weak. You would become very irritable. No one would want to be around you. You would begin to look unhealthy if you let that go long enough. And just like in our spiritual life or our physical life, we need to maintain health. In our spiritual life, we've got to maintain health as well. And if you go long enough without getting God's Word in you, you will become very weak. You'll be limited in what you can do. In your spirit, you'll become irritable. And you'll begin to look unhealthy in your spiritual life. So why read the Word of God on a regular basis? There are several reasons that I've got here in the notes, and they'll be up on the screen for you. Number one, the Word imparts spiritual energy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Word of God is living and it's powerful. That means it has spiritual living energy. And just by you reading those words, it strengthens your spirit. Even though maybe you initially don't feel different, if you will, day after day, on a regular basis, week after week, read God's Word, then you will begin to feel this spiritual strength and energy. If you are a believer, it will give you that spiritual energy. If you're not a believer, it will begin to open your eyes. It will give you that kind of spiritual energy. You'll begin to understand God's Word and see your need of salvation. See that you need this kind of life. God uses His Word to open our hearts and our minds to Him. Secondly, the Word creates extra protection. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 calls the Scripture the sword of the Spirit. So someone breaks in your house at night and you hear all this commotion in the kitchen and you can tell right away this is not just ordinary noise. It's not the refrigerator grumbling. It's something that indicates somebody is in the house. You've got two thoughts going in your mind right away. Number one is, who is this in my house? And number two is, where is my weapon? And if you don't have a weapon, you are in a compromising position. If that's an enemy that's in your house, I guarantee you they've got a weapon. And here's what we all have to realize. We're living in a world in which the enemy has broken in. The enemy is in the kitchen. The enemy is here in our lives, and he has a weapon. And if you don't have a spiritual weapon ready to go up against him, you're not going to do very well. And the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword in Bible days was the personal weapon of choice. And today, just these words that we can read and put in our mind and our heart, carry with us throughout the day, it protects us from the attacks of the enemy. And he will attack us. He'll attack you through what other people are doing or saying. He'll attack you through the circumstances that pile onto your life. And sometimes he's able to just afflict our soul and our spirit and just make us feel downcast. Make us feel like not wanting to go to church, not wanting to serve the Lord, not wanting to keep doing the things that He wants us to do. But the Word of God comes in and it strengthens us and it protects us. A third reason why we need to be in the Word on a regular basis and reading is that it cleanses your heart and your mind. Jesus said in John 17:17, as he prayed for the disciples and he prayed for all of us, he said, sanctify them, Father, through your truth. And he said, your word is truth. So just like David said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, he said in Psalm 119, verse 9. And so the Word of God, just reading it, begins to cleanse your heart. It's that double-edged sword. It kills those things that shouldn't be in your life, and it heals those things that should be there and need to be strengthened. And so just by reading it, this is why we need to read it every day, is that it cleanses us and makes us holy like the Lord. And then finally, the word makes you smarter. It just simply improves your intelligence. David realized this. He said in Psalm 119, verse 100, I understand more than all the older wise people around me, he said, because I keep your precepts. And so the word of God is what God knows. And it's the word that he's given to us to know, to love, to read. And on a regular basis, we need to have a time where we pull apart. Now, it can be early in the morning, I think that's best, or it can be on your noon break or in the afternoon or at night. Just whenever it needs to be, you need to have a regular time in which you pull away, get into a quiet place, get free of distractions, get the Bible open, and just read systematically through God's Word. And He'll speak to you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will give you all that you need. That's why He's given us His Word. So this is what the people did here. But then we also see that they not only read the Word, but they reacted to the Word. Secondly, we see that they could, for a fourth of the day, they confessed their sins. So that's what should happen after we read God's Word. God points out things in our life when we read God's Word, and we ought to acknowledge that. And if there's something that we read that convicts us, then we, during our quiet time, we say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did not realize that. I did not do that the way I should, Lord. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And that way we interact with Him. And so this is what the people did, and you read the rest of the chapter, and you read that they did indeed confess their sins. Verses 26 through 37 is their confession time. And through these verses, they talk about their disobedience there in verse 26, their rebellion, their violence, verse 27, their trouble, verse 28, the evil that was in their life, verse 29, the pride. And because of all these things, they had sinned in the past and they were still in need of confessing those sins. And so they spent time telling the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do better, Lord. Help me to do better. Lord, help me to live your word. That's what they were doing in their time in God's word. Now, here's a couple of reasons why we need to confess our sins. Number one, the Lord is a forgiving God. They mentioned this in verse 31. They poured out all their sin to Him, and then they said, nevertheless, Lord, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God and you are gracious and merciful. So the reason why we need to confess our sins every day is because God can forgive us every day. Christ's blood is now in heaven. It's right there at the mercy seat at the throne of God. It's offered there, the Bible says in Hebrews, through the eternal Spirit. That means it's always there. It's always there, alive and powerful, ready to forgive you of your sin. And every time we sin, what Jesus does, because He's our great high priest, is He applies His blood to our sin. That's why we have ongoing cleansing and forgiveness from the Lord through our salvation. We don't have to continue to work for our salvation to maintain it. We don't have to work to keep ourselves saved. What Jesus did and what He has placed there before the throne of God for us is an ongoing, never-ending, eternal cleansing from sin. But the Bible says if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, then if we will confess our sins, let me get it right, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I think what that means is that every time we sin, Jesus applies His cleansing blood to us. It's there. It's available for us. But we don't see the effects of that cleansing in our personal life unless we confess it. We have forgiveness there before the throne of God. But here in our heart, where that sin weighs us down, and it hinders our relationships, and it causes us not to be the people we need to be. That kind of cleansing comes as we confess the sin. And this is what we do in our daily quiet time with the Lord. A second reason why we need to confess our sins is that the Lord heals and restores us. They mentioned this in verse 36. They said, "Here we are, servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it." And so they look back at all their sin that had taken them out of the promised land for a time. And the Lord had brought them back. The Lord had restored them. And this is the reason why we, every single day, because there's things that we do need to be put back in place. And the Lord, who is a forgiving God, can restore us every single day as we confess that sin and we lay it before Him. And then we go out into our day and we're better, we're stronger. The Lord's doing things in our heart and our life. He's preparing us for what we're facing in our life. So first we read the Word, and then we confess our sin, and then we do what the people did here, and that is we worship the Lord. In your quiet time, you need to have a time in which you just open your heart and you worship Him and even sing to Him. This is what they did on this occasion. They praised the Lord, and most of this long chapter is them praising the Lord. Verses 5 through 25 is their praise. And so there needs to be a time in our quiet time where you just respond to the Lord and you just praise Him. I would encourage you to sing to the Lord in your quiet time. I do that on occasion. I try to do it kind of quiet because my quiet time is early in the morning. I found that if I don't do it first in my day, that I don't get to it like I need to. And so there's times where I'll just, as I'm praying and I'm thinking about what the Lord has said, that I will use a few songs that I know that I love to sing. And I'll just sing them up to the Lord. "Come Thou Fount." That's a great hymn. It's really a prayer from our heart to the Lord's. I'll sing that song. Or "Be Thou My Vision." That's another great hymn. That's just a personal prayer lifted up to the Lord. "I Love You, Lord's" great chorus. Some of the choruses we sang today are great choruses just to sing to the Lord. And if you know them, they're in your heart and your mind, just right there where you are, just with the Lord, you can just sing them up to Him. And from your heart to His, you're responding to His Word and you're praising Him for who He is. Here's three reasons why we need to worship the Lord in this way. Number one, worship is personal. So what I'm telling you when I'm saying that we all need to do to keep us healthy is that once we leave church and once we go into our week, we still need to have church on a regular basis. When you bow before the Lord in your quiet time, you need to have a time there where you worship Him, and you do there what you do here. You open God's Word, you read it, you pray, and then you sing to Him and you worship Him. Worship is personal. Verse 8, the people are praising the Lord and they're talking about what God had done with Abraham, and they said, "You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him." You see that? How personal that relationship was? In his heart, Abraham worshiped the Lord. Abraham lived in a day and time in which they did not have congregational worship. God had not yet brought a people to himself. He didn't have a church building where he could go to. And so what did he do? He made an altar to the Lord, a personal altar to the Lord on a regular basis, and he opened up his heart to him. And he thought about and reflected upon the word that God had given him and the promise he had given him. And Abraham worshiped. And you and I can have that same experience. And as you have that same experience on a regular basis, you're made healthy, you're made stronger. The Lord shows up and He blesses you. A second reason why we need to worship personally on a regular basis is that each day is holy to the Lord. Verse 12 talks about this. Again, as they reflected upon how the Lord had led them in the past, he says, "Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they should travel." So Moses pitched a tent. He called the tent of meeting, and that's where they would go to worship. That's where God would speak to Moses face to face. The Bible says that pillar of cloud by day would come and stand in the doorway of the tent whenever they would worship. God was saying, "Hey, I'm here. I'm meeting with you." But then when they would pull that up and they would travel on, the Bible says that that same pillar, it didn't leave them, but it went with them. It went with them as they traveled. And every step they took, it was out there. The cloud by day, the fire by night. And that was God saying, "Hey, I'm never away from you. Every day is holy in my presence. Every day you can come and seek me and turn toward me in your heart." And so this is why we need to worship. This is why we've been made. God created us to spend time with him, and as we do that on a regular basis, he shows up and he begins to strengthen us and make us who we need to be. Finally, like verse 12 says also, we need to worship because every day we need light. Every day on our the road that we travel, we need the light that only God can give. There have been so many times where I've started my day out and I didn't feel good and I was discouraged and I just felt like crawling back in bed. Y'all had those days? Some days you just get up and you don't want to get up and do anything. I see that hand. But I get up anyway. Like I said, the first thing I do, because I know I have to do this, otherwise I'm not a good person. I've got to get alone with the Lord. And I've got to get his strength. I've got to be refocused on him and let him fill me. And there are so many times that I will go into the side bedroom where I spend my quiet time. And I'll open God's word and I'll begin to read it. And I just keep reading, even though I don't feel good. I just keep reading it. And somewhere in those moments, there's always an experience where I just sense that the Lord's with me. And there's this light. Light comes into that room in a spiritual way. And it comes into my heart. And before I leave that quiet time, I'm a different person. I'm the person that God wants me to be. I'm the person that His Spirit wants me to be. Now leave that quiet time ready to serve Him. And on all of our roads, we need that kind of experience. And it begins with us hearing God's Word, reading it, confessing, responding to it. And then in that moment, because we know He can change us and forgive us, we worship Him. The last thing they did is they committed to the Lord. So in that last blank, commit goes. Commit to the Lord. Verse 38, after they read the word, after they confessed, after they praised him, verse 38 says, "And because of all of this, we make a sure covenant and write it." Our leaders, our Levites, our priests, seal it. So all the people and all the leaders at the end, at the end of their quiet time, if you will, on this occasion, they said, "Okay, here's how we're going to commit to the Lord, and we're going to make it official." And so the last thing we need to do in our time with the Lord is, after we read His Word, is we need to commit to live it. And in every time you read God's Word, you need to look for at least one thing that He's telling you to do. One thing that He wants you to commit to. And in that time, before you leave it, just commit to Him and then get up and go out your day and then do it. We need to commit in this way. Number one, why do we do this? Number one, because we're prone to stray and to wonder. That's what they're saying in verse 38 when they said, because of all this, because of all this stuff we've talked about, how we failed in the past, and how we still need you today. They said, because of this, we're going to make this a sure covenant. We're fixing to write this down. This is important for us. We've got to do this because we're prone to wonder. And by doing it this way, I think they also were saying, we want this accountability. We want to write it down and we want to share it with everybody else so that we will be held accountable. That's another reason why we need to spend time with the Lord, is because we all need someone else that will be checking up on us, that will be praying for us, that will be encouraging us to continue to live in the right way. So we're going to close this service this morning by making a similar commitment. I'm asking you this morning, if you have not begun a regular habit of spending time in God's Word, that you would make that commitment to the Lord today. If you made that commitment at the beginning of the year, and here we are, January 19th, and you've already fallen off the wagon, that can happen, that you recommit to getting back into God's Word and continuing the journey with Him. Now, we make commitments to everybody else all the time, don't we? Every single day, we're making commitments to people to be here, to be there, to do this, to do that. And what we need to be doing on a regular basis is telling the Lord, Lord, I'm committing to you. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Lord, I've heard your word. I've read it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Central Word. Our prayer is that this message will encourage you in your walk with Christ as we dive into God's Word each and every week. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you in the week to come.